Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Friday's story time with Joseph J. Harrington. Damn it. J. Joseph Harrington.
Get it right.
God, I can never... I'm an idiot.
Yes, you are.
How are you?
It's good. It's the whole Joey thing, right? Because you think that's got to be Joseph first, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not. Just had to be different.
Yeah, so how do you feel about this new Pac-12 commissioner? You like this guy? You know this guy?
I don't know. Tell me about him.
That's what everybody said.
At least that's an honest answer. I love how no one had ever heard of him, but within the span of like 30 seconds, people were like, oh, I love it.
I love it.
People heard Vegas and gambling, and they're
hell
like,
yeah,
this is exactly what we need.
Smart.
Yeah. I will say that I was really skeptical of the Pac-12 basketball tournament going to Vegas at first, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we were using that as our only point of reference, then yeah, I think it's great.
what are the biggest obstacles this guy is going to have to overcome? Like, how do you feel like
relevance?
Yeah. So we've talked about that before. That you don't think, you just think it is what it is out west. You know, we'll never have the passion of the South. So how do you then close the financial gap?
Well, so here's the thing. I think that, so we'll never have the passion of the South. But we do have two marquee programs. We have Oregon and we have USC. And the conference is at its best when those two teams, football speaking, are at the top. And SC has kind of been at a, let's call it an up and down at best. And Oregon has done well, but it's more than simply doing well. Both of those teams, and not just one of them, both of those teams have to be in the playoff discussion for the conference to be relevant. And that's just the reality of it. Because if they're not, then the whole country forgets about us, right? And those two programs will drive the visibility for the rest of the conference. And it's kind of one of those, I don't want to say nobody cares about Washington State, but nobody really cares about Washington State, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. Like do you remember?
It doesn't matter what time. My point was, it doesn't matter what time they put them on, like all the Friday night championship games, or when Larry Scott was trying to, put them at times where they'd have their own. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If Oregon and USC are not driving the rest of the country's eyeballs to the conference, they're going to be irrelevant.
I could not agree more.
Yep.
I think that's exactly it. Now, so you remember when the Big 12 was like TCU and Baylor, and then Texas and Oklahoma were bad? Even though, you should take nothing away from TCU and Baylor being at the top of the Big 12. Being an outsider looking at the Big 12, I'm like, oh, that conference sucks because it wasn't their blue bloods. It wasn't their big boys. TCU and Baylor, come on. So it's the same type of thing.
That was the year when I was working for Longhorn Network and then starting to call games for Fox Sports. And I was down. We were the Baylor the Baylor home broadcast network, it seemed like. I mean, I'd call like three or four Baylor games a year. And you're right. Even though they were at the top of the conference and, coming off of Robert Griffin Jr. And Bryce Petty and putting up numbers like crazy. And frankly, they were Oregon after Oregon was Oregon in terms of like explosive offense. And even though they were doing that, they're still putting 40 some thousand in the stadium and, they're not driving the eyeballs like, like a Texas would. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma are not good, then the Big 12 is going to be thought of as a subpar conference. If Oregon and USC are not good, and let's not even say good, they have to be elite, the Pac-12 is going to be thought of as an irrelevant conference.
Well, look, at Washington State has had moments. They had three 10-win seasons in a row. They went to a couple Rose Bowls, but, you know, they didn't win those. The Michigan game, they were right there. But, you know, for Washington State, Oregon State, for a number of years, you could make a solid argument along with Oregon, we're the second-best team. But you're right in that there's staying power problems with schools like that. This is why, like, in the ACC sucks, but they've got Clemson. If that was North Carolina State doing that, it's a different reputation. Clemson's saving grace. They're the saving grace of the ACC.
But see, I would argue that when Clemson started to be good, they had the same issue. And it wasn't until they were repeatedly in the championship discussion every single year that people started to realize that that is a great. I mean, it took them 2, 3, 4 years to get that type of reputation.
Beating Alabama. Honestly, that was the one. When they beat Alabama in that national title game, that was like, oh, crap, here's Clemson. But you're right. It's so much of college football is just our perception. I mean, it goes back to the reason why we have preseason polls and we still think a lot of Michigan and, you know, Iowa State this year is when the polls come out, Iowa State's going to be 10 or 11. If Iowa State had you stripped away that helmet and you just said, this is the record of the team, this is who they beat last year, this is who they have coming back, Iowa State would be the second or third best team in the country. But watch, they'll be 10 or 11 because they're Iowa State. And we don't believe, we can't comprehend that Iowa State should be a top three team preseason.
I could not agree with you more. Now, if Iowa State goes out and does that year after year after year and beats Alabama in the championship game, then I think we'd see something different. But until that happens, they're still going to be Iowa State.
Do you think I was reading some recently that was saying it was they were pontificating on who could maybe be the next Clemson in college football, and Oregon was near the top of the list. And I looked at that and went, I don't know. Geographically, be as good as Clemson? That's just my question. Do you think Oregon?
I completely agree. And here's why.
You think they can be the next Clemson?
Yes, because of the rest of the conference, right? With an average USC, with Washington, and we're talking historically, right? Washington is down. Oregon State, from early 2000s, mid 2000s, is completely down. That they don't have the week in, week out tests like a Big Ten or an SEC, which is exactly why Clemson plays 2 or 3 big games a year, right? They play their game against Miami. They play their game against, South Carolina. There's another game that usually, I think maybe they played Notre Dame. You know, they have 2 or 3 games a year, and then the rest of the time they play NC State, and they kind of just work their way through the conference. And that's, it's interesting because they're in a very similar position to Oregon, but the difference is they've finished the deal and Oregon hasn't.
I mean, there is something to be said for that. I mean, we all think Oregon out here is a good team and they have a nice national perception, but beating Auburn or Ohio State would have gone a long way. But I'd even make the argument that, and I know it goes back a ways, but Georgia Tech won one, Colorado won one, and those are nice programs, and they were nice programs for a couple years after that, but it didn't change the fortunes of Colorado. It didn't change the fortunes of Georgia Tech. Virginia Tech was good under Frank Beamer with Michael Vick and all those cats, and they were good for like a 10-year run, but never that's kind of like Oregon. They were good for an extended period of time. They got to the Big One once, made a lot of BCS games, but never really entered that conversation with Alabama, Ohio State, LSU.
So your point is, your point of comparison is, the end of Bilotti, Chip Kelly, to the Frank Beamers, to that's what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that,
But here's the difference in my opinion is, and I can't even tell you who followed Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech offhand. He's not Mario.
Bronco? No, right.
No, Bronco's
Virginia.
In Virginia.
Who is the Virginia? Oh, it's Fuentes.
Fuentes, but I don't know if he directly followed
Virginia
him.
Tech hasn't been in the discussion since.
No.
In the way that Mario has put Oregon back into this the discussion, right?
Yes.
And that's the difference. Yes. You know, neither program won the national championship. They got there, but I think Oregon has done more to change the landscape of college football than Virginia Tech or Colorado or any of those teams, you know, through the mid to late 90s that, you know, have since kind of been passed over. Oregon did more to change the national perception of their own brand than any college in my recent, I mean, any college that I can think of.
No, I can't think of another one.
It's unique.
They have to win. Yeah. They have to win one. They truly have to win one to be thought of in that Clemson category. But they absolutely have the potential to, based on how, I mean, look, you know, Cal's getting better under Justin Wilcox. They're not great. Stanford's fallen off a bit. Arizona has, you know, completely fallen off a cliff. Arizona State can't get out of their own way. You know, UCLA, you know, one moment they're running Chip Kelly's stuff to perfection. And then, you know, the next 3 weeks, they can't score a point. I mean, it's not like you've got a lineup of titans sitting in front of Oregon. It's very similar to what Clemson has.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a follow-up. Actually, I have two follow-ups, but we've got to take a break. So I'll get those in when we come back. I want to know who Joey credits most for what Oregon's become. It is Fridays with Joey Harrington here on 1080 The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Good little college football discussion. We were talking last segment if Oregon can be the new Clemson. They're certainly recruiting at that level for the last couple of years. But as Joey said, you know, they have the opportunity in the Pac-12, but they have to win one. And that would be one of my follow-ups is win a championship, of course. But what about this Ohio State game? Like, is it realistic to expect Oregon now to go on the road to Columbus and win this game?
Yes, they have to. I mean, that is literally the difference between – that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's realistic for them to go to Columbus and win, then they're not involved in this discussion. Then they're not going to be the next Clemson.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, those are the games that – Clemson wins the Notre Dame games, right? They go to South Bend and they beat Notre Dame. That's the game that sticks out in people's mind as they play the, you know, the mediocre schedule through the ACC. Oregon goes to Ohio State and wins. That is the nugget that they hold on to when they beat Washington State and no one cares. When they beat Oregon State and no one cares. When they beat Cal and no one cares. Oh, but they beat Ohio State in Columbus. That's the nugget that they come back to, which keeps them relevant deep into the conversation of the playoff during the season. And yes, it is realistic to expect that because of what Mario has shown he can do. This is not, you know, we talked about it. This is a program that was potentially falling off a cliff with the transition from, you know, we talked plenty about this, and it scared me to death. Is that Helfrich leaves, Willie Taggart comes in. And Willie Taggart goes out, right? And now the program is looking to fall off a cliff. But Mario has come in and provided not only the stability and kind of the, I'll say the renaissance and embracing of the pre-Chip Kelly stuff, you know, truly embracing the program and what got him to that point to begin with. And then he's brought in unbelievable talent. And you combine those two things and you got yourself the potential for a winning formula. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely realistic for them to go to Columbus and win. And I think it would do a heck of a lot for the perception, not only of their program, but of the conference.
Yeah, it sounds like you might have just answered this, but my other follow-up was, it is really amazing to see what Oregon's become. And they were good when, you know, you were going to the Fiesta Bowl, but it's another level now. Who do you credit most for that? Is it Mario? It doesn't have to be one person, but where do you point?
Where do I point for what? Give me something specific, because I think it depends on what exactly the question is.
Because I think when you were in the Fiesta, well, maybe before you got to Oregon, let's go at that time frame. If I told you, we'd be debating in however 20-some years, we'd be debating if Oregon can be the next Clemson. And by the way, Clemson's won two national championships in the last, 5 years?
Yeah.
I think you'd look at me like I had three heads, you know?
I would agree.
Do you credit for from that point to now? Who do you credit most for what Oregon has become?
Well, it has to be Chip Kelly. I mean, it really does. It's kind of, and that's why I asked, what is your specific question? Because Bilotti built the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Brooks, right? And Bilotti, yeah, right.
I don't know. I think I.
One built off
the
other.
I love Rich Brooks. I disagree with that, though. I love Rich Brooks, but for how many years in a row did he have a losing record?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he went to a Rose Bowl and then bounced, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was – Oregon football was truly irrelevant during his tenure. And remember the year that they went to the Rose Bowl, they started the season, what, 1-3?
Yeah, something like that.
That wasn't an 11-0 Rose Bowl team.
No.
That was an 8-3 team, I think. So I would argue very heavily that Bilotti built the foundation for that program. Chip built the structure, right? Chip built the house. He built the flashy, you know, he remodeled the kitchen. He, you know, put a pool table in a wine cellar in the basement. You know, he did that. But he forgot to put a roof on, right, when he bolted. And I think Mario's put that roof on and has made sure that those investments, you know, that foundation, you know, the the granite countertops didn't get destroyed. So I think all three of them have done different things, but equally as important. But if you're going to ask me who put Oregon on the map and is I have to choose one of them, I'm going to say it's Chip.
Mm.
Because what he did was so out of the box. What he did was so eye-catching and revolutionary. You know, his style of football truly changed the game. And people associate that with Oregon because of him.
See, mine would be, and I know it's controversial, but it's hard to pick one guy because I believe everyone, you know, stood on each other's shoulders. You know, one, you know, begats the other. He's an old Bible reference. But I go with Phil because I think without him, without his money of building the facilities, without the Nike Cool, without him putting you on a billboard, without him and Nike behind and doing the uniforms, I think that is was the most unique thing. So to me, when I look at one thing that changed college football, I think it was Oregon. I think every program from Oklahoma State to Virginia Tech, they all tried to use this formula of cool. They tried to take a school that wasn't once a power and make it sexy and cool. And the facilities arm race. I remember when I was being recruited, there wasn't one place I went to that had nice facilities. Washington sucked. USC's were terrible. I mean, you name it. There were garbage facilities, and Oregon was the first program out west to invest in that. And I just think it's Phil Knight, and it can't just be one guy, but I think without him and the swoosh, I don't think the other stuff is possible. And so that's why for me, I go there.
I'd agree with you. I would agree with you. Rob's question wasn't specific enough. I thought he was simply talking about coaches. So it's completely – it's Rob's fault.
Damn it, Rob.
Yeah, let's blame me. Hey, so I agree with the Phil Knight. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but who – okay, so the brand of Oregon has just – it's just been incredible. Like, yeah, you said
– one of the best in college football.
You just can't find another program that has – created such a great identity in college football over the last 20 years like Oregon. Do you know more specifically who is to credit for that? I mean, I know we always credit Phil Knight because, you know, Nike and the whole thing. But like I said, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but are there other names that are people that have created that for Oregon? Because it's just been one of a kind.
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Tinker Hatfield.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Tinker has been very influential. And you know, there's a group of guys that I'm of course drawing a blank on now, but they would sit and they'd come down and have round table discussions with the players. And they really relied on, you know, on the players' input, to shape what would become the Oregon brand. And Tinker's just that kind of out of the box, free thinking kind of guy. that, I mean, he's designed some of the most iconic footwear, designed, you know, some, let's just call it the, some of the most iconic brands in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, with his influence with Jordan, and, you know, I got to give him a lot of credit for the brand influence of Oregon and creating what they've become.
Yeah, I thought, I remember, you know, I thought growing up, I thought it was dumb. I was that old curmudgeon guy when I was 19, and I didn't like any of the Oregon stuff. And as
you were jealous.
Yeah, there may be an element of that, right? I mean, I just thought...
Well, some of it was ugly at first.
Well, and I remember, like, my stuff at BYU, I hated, like, when, because they came in and changed everything, and I remember it pissed me off, and the Oregon State sports bras, and I was like, what are they doing? Like, why? They're wrecking. I thought the old Oregon stuff was awesome. The interlocking O and U, and then I loved that. And so, like, I was bitter against it. I thought what they were doing was dumb. And it's funny, you look back and the cultural shift, I didn't realize what was happening at the time, but someone should do a 30 for 30 on that, because I couldn't have been more wrong. It may have been uncomfortable while it was changing. I didn't realize the brand that they were building, and not just at Oregon, across college football. They did this at, you know, 20 other programs. It's just, this was the marquee one and they were at the forefront of it. And I mean, Oregon there, and it was... And you were at the start of it, but I really do think that what they did at Oregon when you were there for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, I think that changed college football as much as anything in my lifetime.
I agree. How'd we get onto this discussion?
I don't even know.
Clemson. Why were we talking about Clemson?
Could Oregon be the next Clemson? But if you look,
we're talking about the Pac-12 commissioner.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking
about. Oh, the commissioner. Yeah, that's right. What's his name? Who is that guy?
George something.
Oh, he's awesome though, right? Because he's from Vegas.
We love him.
Yeah, we love George.
Great hire.
GK.
So it sounds like to me the smartest thing they did, and I say they, I would assume it's the Nike people, was they just went down and listened to the players, right? Like I think before what Sook's talking about is they used to be just a bunch of. I mean, they would consult players. They didn't care what the players thought. It's like, here's your uniform. This is what you're wearing.
Yeah.
But Oregon at Nike went down into the locker room and said, hey, what do you guys want? Yeah. What do you got? What's cool?
And they listened to
and
kids.
And they listened.
And the kids were kind of out there on a limb, but
smart.
They went with it.
Yeah.
And while some people, me, were like, what the hell are they doing? What they were doing was listening to 19 and 20-year-olds that were driving a cultural shift. And now from UW to Clemson to Iowa State to BYU to Washington State, everyone now has to have 4 or 5 uniforms. Everyone has to have updated helmets. Everyone has to have the shiny face mask. Everyone has to build, when they build a football facility, it's no longer just about building a nice facility. It has to have bells and whistles. And I don't know how anyone, and I you know, there's probably an Oregon State fan that's pissed, like, oh, you guys are sucking up to Oregon. You can't deny where that all started. To me, you just can't if you're being objective.
Smart little play.
Sook. Have you ever told anybody to get off my lawn?
I probably did. When I was at BYU for 2 years and we went to the new Nike uniforms, I probably yelled, get off my lawn. They gave us bibs. And I don't know if I've ever been more upset.
Those were really bad, though.
Because I loved our unis. I loved, they were a classic look. And when they unveiled the new stuff, I was pissed. I was yelling, get off my lawn, for like 3 years.
Well, remind me not to bring my kids anywhere near your house.
It's gotten,
you kids, get off my lawn.
It's gotten much better. I can appreciate, looking back, I can appreciate it. And I think what they've landed on now, I think 95% of the time they get it right, and it looks really good.
All right. I think we're out of time. Good little discussion.
Good. I'm tired of talking to the grump over here.
Talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Joey Harrington each Friday at 5:30 here on The Fan. Brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or BMWPortland.com. The club is next on The Fan.